Welcome to the Punk News Podcast for the week of October 22nd, 2012. My name is Chris Moran. I'll be your host and moderator for this week's roundtable discussion. I'll be joined in just a bit by a whole shitload of people. So stick around. Right now, we're going to go ahead and get into a song. This one is actually coming to you from the upcoming Tony Sly tribute. As many of you know, Tony Sly, longtime frontman of News for a Name recently, and unfortunately passed away, and there has been a very massive tribute album in the works, which has finally starting to see some light. We've seen some songs leaked from Brian Fallon, Frank Turner, and this week we're actually going to bring you a semi-exclusive. I don't know if anyone else has actually put this up yet, but we'll call it exclusive now just for the hell of it. It's actually Strung Out, who I guess you could consider sort of a longtime touring friend of No Use for a Name. Grew up in that same mid-90s fat era. And I actually picked this song because this is a personal favorite, actually my favorite No Use for a Name track of probably all time. So anyways, this is Strung Out covering the classic No Use for a Name track, Soulmate, and it comes again from the upcoming Tony Sly tribute record, soon to be released on Fat Records. So here you go, check it out.
Monday morning, you woke up crying. The outcome of some stupid line. Oh, set by some punk ass on the street. If it wasn't me, it wasn't you, it wasn't anybody, and it wasn't your friend insecurity. The one companion that stuck by your side into a bond. Now you're in a fight, the same old argument, just black and white. There's something that's eating you inside. It's not the food, it's not the booze, it isn't anything consumed. Now where's it becoming the problem you can't hide? So every time you thought you were wrong, but you were right. The devil on your side, I can't you strength and power. The count is time to call a few. Your best until the end of time. They'll always be there by your side. So if I condition to abuse, what that means you'll never have a clue. More than just a lifelong friend, no social life. It's not like you care, but anyway, you never wanna leave, you never wanna stay. But you think if you drink too much, then you will lose it. Drink your security away. The one companion that's stuck by your side into a bond. That someone tells you what to do.
Punk News Podcast Roundtable. Again, my name's Chris Moran. I'll be your host and moderator for this week's roundtable discussion. I've got a whole cast of characters with me this week from all over the corners of the earth. First and foremost, Britt Reiser. Hey, Brittany.
Hello.
And next, we got not one, but two Andys for your listening pleasure. First, coming from the boring United States, we've got Andrew Clark. Welcome, Andrew.
Hello.
And from across the pond, the one and only Mr. Andy Waterfield. Hey, Andy.
Well, I came across the pond. I'm now in Washington, D.C., sat next to Andy Clark. So.
Best
of both.
We have ourselves quite the lineup this week. Let's go ahead and just jump into the first track, or the first story, actually. And this is a follow-up to the first song we just heard, coming from the upcoming Tony Sly tribute record. So this week, Brian Fallon of the Gaslight Anthem actually put up a track of his that he's contributed to said tribute. This is the cover of Tony Sly's Capo Fourth Fret, which it originally appeared on the record 12 song program. This is, again, the second song we've seen posted. Again, another sort of mellow, acoustic-y type song, the first being from Frank Turner. What do we think of it, guys and gal? Brittany, your thoughts?
I thought it was beautiful. Brian Fallon is – I mean, everybody knows that Brian Fallon is a great singer, and he can harmonize, and he can put that stuff together, and people call him the next Bruce Springsteen, whatever. But it's – really pretty. It's a good, pretty song all the way through.
Andy, Andrew?
Which one?
Fight it out.
You go first. You're the best.
I've not actually listened to it, so I've been a bit slack on my old stuff lately, just because I've been drifting between Wi-Fi hotspots for the most part. So I've been, you know, checking stuff out as and when I can.
Well, good thing you have an Andrew backup.
Yeah, exactly. I can't imagine it being bad.
Yes.
You know, like, Brian's, you know, like Britt says, like, Brian knows his stuff, and obviously he's going to treat this project with the utmost respect, so.
Yeah, I'll have to echo that, and anything Brian Fallon does, being from my home state of New Jersey, all love for it, and I haven't been keeping up the org stuff as much myself, but definitely going to give this a listen later tonight. I skipped out on a lot of the Fat Record hating, but in retrospect now, going back to it and discovering it for the first time. But I think this will be great, and it's for a great cause. So all luck.
Yeah, I think Andy touched on a good point. All of these artists have such respect for Tony Sly, so I think you see that in these recordings. I think that's why I found this song to be, I feel silly calling it pretty. But I think that that also shows how much Brian put an effort into this and how much he respected Tony Sly and wanted to do this song justice.
Yeah. I think I echo all of those sentiments. I've actually been eagerly anticipating this just because I'm a bastard of the 90s Epiphat. So anytime something like this comes together, it's like, you know, an orgasm, pun intended there. And, it's for me, obviously I was expecting a lot of the, you know, the more heartfelt tracks like you hear on here from Frank and from Brian. But, there's also some really cool, more upbeat song, or I don't want to say upbeat, but yeah, up-tempo songs, we'll call it that. Like, for example, the song we just played, the cover of Soulmate from Strung Out. I mean, it's very metally, very riffy. Same goes for, the Flatliners track, and then the NoFX track is really good too. So I think, aside from the fact that obviously this is just a collection of really great songs in general, but the fact that you have so many big names really contributing to it tells you, again, kind of what you guys all said. It just really cements Tony's legacy and really shows you the respect and admiration that so many from so many diverse scenes and backgrounds, the respect they had for him.
Yeah, I haven't heard the other songs. I've heard the Frank Turner one, and then the Strung Out one. But outside of that, I haven't heard the rest of the songs. And I'm looking at the song list for this album, and there are some really incredible mm-hmm. bands on here. And they stretch from a wide variety of music. I mean, you have Old Man Markley, which is like your country punk, like hoedown fun stuff. But you also have NOFX, which is pretty purely punk rock. And then you have Simple Plan. Never in a million years would I have guessed Simple Plan would be on this.
Yeah, that's a good segue now, because speaking of the pop punk or whatever you want to call it, longtime Real Big Fish tromboner, whatever you want to call him, Dan Reagan, he announced he's actually going to be leaving the band. He said that he wants to pursue some other opportunities, and I'll just read a little bit of what he said. He's, quote, "It's been nearly 20 glorious action-packed years, but I am needed at home. I have two kids who deserve to have a father around. While I've enjoyed watching you kids grow up and keeping you older kids young, I feel the best thing for me right now is to jump off the road and get a job at home. I just miss my children too much when I'm gone." So he released a full statement. We won't go into all that, but just kind of show, from my opinion, shows it's kind of he's putting his priorities in check, which I think is totally rad. And maybe he also watched the other F word and realized he didn't want to be away from his kids while they were growing up. I don't know. Andy's thoughts? Andrew Clark.
It's a sellout, and you should have himself a beer. good luck for him. I honestly couldn't care less.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of respect for anyone within the punk scene that decides to be a parent and puts that first, or puts family above first. I don't know. I'm sure a lot of people are kind of amazed that Real Big Fish is still around and a thing. Yeah, I mean, I can't blame the guy for wanting to be a father and be around for his kids.
Mm.
Indeed.
I think that's a trend. I mean, we're all growing up. This stuff is happening. It's happening more and more to the bands that we love from our childhood. Like, Real Big Fish has been around forever. So, your values change, you know? And start with your punk rock lifestyle of your crazy and your party and your, depending on what level of punk rock, your social justice. And then suddenly you have kids and your wife is like, hey, I could use some help. So I assume that's a part of what happened. I'm sure he misses his kids. And then I'm sure the poor woman who had to stay home with two kids was like, turns out I have a husband. Maybe he should like do something. So yeah, I don't think it's surprising, but it's probably sad for all the ska kids out there.
Yeah. I think anyone who's really into this band is probably of the age where they would say, well, yeah, you got to do what you got to take care of the kids. And, if this was like, and I can't even name like a pseudo punk mohawky type band that has 16-year-old fans that would say, that's not punks.
Flag.
Yeah, well, that's, you know. Anyways, but I think the demographic can definitely respect the decision, and I'd be shocked to hear a negative comment uttered of this. So that said, we'll wish Dan the best of luck and move right along here into, actually, we saw a new track released from, I guess, what you'd classify as a Orgcore favorite, Iron Sheik. They posted a stream of the song Castle Numbskull, which, A, is a take off of He-Man, which is totally fucking awesome. It's coming from their record, The Constant One, which is due out November 5th, coming out on the Hardcore Collective Bridge 9 Records, which still just baffles me. This band, I'll tell you, I was never a big fan of what's the band that the dude came from?
Flatter.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I like songs that are just made of nothing but choruses and all, but I don't shit my pants over them like the rest of people. But Iron Sheik, they're good jams. I mean, I don't dislike it, but people, I guess because they don't perform much and they're kind of, they show up and then they don't show up and people just kind of go ape shit. But I don't know. I haven't even listened to this. I'm not going to lie. Has any of you three listened?
I've heard a couple of the songs off the EP that have now made it to the full length. And I mean, it's in the vein of their previous work. So that's good by my account.
I have not heard any of the other songs. I just listened to this one, and I really like Latter. This is right at my org core alley in terms of music. But I am kind of disappointed by it. It was just mediocre. I mean, I first found Iron Sheik because the best. A couple of my friends were like, yo, you should stay, and Iron Sheik is about to play. They're so great. And then for the last 3 years going to Fest, I made sure I saw Iron Sheik because I was blown away by them from that long performance, and I was like, yes, best, fine. And then they don't do much. You know, they don't really tour, they don't really put out new recordings. So I was really excited about this, and then with big womp womp. Maybe it'll grow on me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think there's definitely the audience for it, and people are, you know, they get stoked about this band and whatnot. So I wish them no ill will, and I'm interested to hear the record. I didn't hear the first one until probably like a year, maybe 2 years after it came out. And
it's such a good album.
I like the first song, and then the rest of it, it's kind of like, eh.
I would go out and say I consider that one nearly perfect. Especially like Busted Mystery Field. Like, it's a song about fighting against the horde with busted shields and broken swords. And it's got a Ghostbusters reference for a title. Like, what's not to like?
Yeah, I mean, I don't dislike it. I just, you know, every time I just think of the wrestler every time I see this. Does anybody know what the wrestler's famous finishing move was?
No.
It was the camel clutch.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. True story. He'd come out, and he was the bad guy, and he'd fight Sergeant Slaughter. But with that said, we're going to go ahead and take a real quick break here. We're going to play another jam for you, and we will be back in just a few minutes to resume the podcast, Multiple People, Total Chaos, Bad Recording Celebration. So stick around.
Great. Now you're going to hear a band from Chicago, Illinois. They're a band called Typesetter. They just released a new EP as well called EP2. This next song you're going to hear is called Anxious and Awkward, which is the story of my life. So enjoy.
we've just been shooting the shit about the armpit of the United States, also known as South Jersey, where I've just come to realize that both myself and Andrew Clark are from. And if yes. if you've never been there, let me tell you, you're not missing much.
But to be honest, like, the instant I go over the Ben Franklin Bridge into South Jersey, Camden specifically, the first thing I saw was a soccer pitch. And I haven't seen any of that in your entire continent. So South Jersey, to me, is a utopia.
Andy, I think that's a baseball field. I don't think it's a soccer field.
No, there's a soccer field as well. They go past the baseball field, and then there's a soccer field, which is also a lacrosse field.
We were given the impression we weren't allowed to be in Camden that long when I crossed the bridge with Brian.
It's like immediately next to the baseball field. You must just have like...
I mean, we literally like got off the bridge, turned around, and got back on the bridge. It was an exciting moment in my life. I did go to Jersey.
So here's a good question, and this is one I've argued with many a folk, is by culture and by inhabitants and the way people are and all that good stuff, how many of you consider Philadelphia really an extension of New Jersey? Because it's nothing like the rest of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it's Philadelphia and then Pittsburgh and Kentucky in between.
Pretty much. That's it. I mean,
sorry, everybody in the middle of Pennsylvania.
I really loved Philly. I have no opinion on Jersey except for the fact that I'm not supposed to like it. But you East Coasters kind of all blend together for me.
Let me tell you something. I've lived in the South for, I guess, going on 15 years now, maybe 14 years. And, you know, everyone talks about Southern hospitality and, you know, I think it's really Southern racism. But anyways, people in New Jersey are much more friendly. They're much more like welcoming. They're much more, I think they're just nicer people. And they're just like more, I'd say they're honest. They're just, they'll tell you how it is.
I really appreciate that. You know, it's funny. So I'm from Denver, for any of the listeners who don't know that. And I get people who come and visit me or who've moved to Denver and they're like, Colorado's the most beautiful state. Why would anybody ever want to leave here? We're going to move here. And then when I say
it's just a big road with some houses in it.
What? Okay, you were not in the best part of Denver. your opinion does not count.
It's not a city. It's like, it's just like a grid of roads and some big buildings in the middle.
Oh, whoa, we're the biggest city around. Okay. When you think of the middle of the country, you think of Denver.
No, I think like Kansas or like...
Yeah.
Yeah, Kansas, Ohio. You think of cornfields. You don't think of cities.
I'll tell
those
you the...
Those are both states, by the way.
The only thing that I found that like freaked me out about Colorado was, again, it was on tour and I was driving at the helm and just like making the descent from like... deserty area as you're driving up into the, you know, the mile high or whatever the fuck you call it. I saw those things called dirt devils.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Dust devils, whatever the fuck they're called. You know, the ones that like, they like look at little mini fucking tornadoes.
Yeah.
And it freaked all of us out. We thought like, we thought that's like how tornadoes were born. And I'm telling you, it was, we were like ready to shit our pants.
I really fantastic. Enjoyed the few days I spent in Denver, but I got taken to a quote-unquote chip shop, and rather than making chips from scratch, they deep-fried some fucking oven chips, and I wasn't stoked on that. Like, their vinegar was all right, but...
Are you talking chips, like chips, or like French fries?
French fries.
I'm talking... I thought you weren't allowed to call them French fries anymore, because terrorism.
Oh, wait, our chips are your crisps, right?
Yeah, I was talking about... French fries, but like French fries are really, really thin, stringy things. But yeah. Like chips are like a much thicker cut.
You're talking about steak fries.
Yeah,
yeah, that's exactly what he's talking about. Which he asked for the entire time he was here.
Steak fries are flat. I'm talking about something that like sideways on is square, but like about 3/4 inch thick.
Have you ever had a tater tot?
He did. Oh. Yeah. No, you had those. Those sweet potato tater tots in...
Let me tell you something. And this I have a very strong opinion about this.
Right.
Sweet potatoes have no place in the French fry world.
Good I show. Agree!
Exactly.
They're fucking blasphemy is what they are.
They are disgusting.
Yeah, they're way too sweet.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry, like, you know,
this
I'm
weird to find this many people that don't like sweet potatoes in the French fry world.
There's like a month in the year where like sweet potatoes are fucking not sweet potatoes, new potatoes are everywhere in the UK and they're too fucking sweet to make chips with, but people do it anyway and it's fucking monstrous. It's like right at the end of the football season, so it's like the worst part of the year.
Guys, what I learned while Andy was in town is that he does not like American beer and is very peculiar
I like
about
American
his chips.
Beer isn't carbonated, but why do you have to carbonate something if it already tastes all right?
All right, well, with that note, we're going to go ahead and take one more quick break, and then I promise we'll come back and talk about like some stories that you may want to hear about. So,
to punks.
Yeah, up the punks. We will be right back.
Hello, this is Andy Waterfield. I've got a song from a band from down Devon way by the name of Crazy Arm. It's taken from their new all-acoustic record, The Southern Wild, which is out now on Extra Mile Recordings. And this song's called Pocket Full of Gold. I really hope you enjoy it.
Nothing but your mama's blue eyes. Your daddy's mood swings that you always despised. No one could tell how you passed through the years. You're wise and you're kind, you're brave and you're here. Well, it takes but a minute to know what you want. It may take a lifetime to know who you are. The secret is reading all the right words and learning to live with the cracks and the scars. So you made it out alive. Now you can hold your head up high. Yeah, you made it out alive. You can walk the streets with pride. Don't need a pocket full of gold to walk the open road. Don't need a pocket full of gold to win somebody's heart, win somebody's soul. Oh, 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 oh. Fighting the fascists, the priests and the cops. Fighting, I'm fighting, the fight never stops. But no one can see when you hang up your gloves that all of your fighting is driven by love. And you're loving your lovers, your songs and your friends. Loving and loving, the love never ends. But no one can see in the fullness of light that all of your loving is part of the fight. That all of your loving is part of the fight. The drinking might kill you, the thinking might too. The loneliness cuts like a cold wind in June. They don't give a fuck if we're down on our luck. And that's why I'm proud to be born to ruin. That's why I'm proud to be born to ruin. Living and dying, it's all the same deal. Your mama's blue eyes keep turning the wheel. Your daddy's mood swings will pass through the years. On the carousel of time, through the blood, sweat, and tears. On the carousel of time, through the blood, sweat, and tears. So you made it out alive. You can hold your head up high. Oh, you made it out alive. And you can walk the streets with pride. Don't need a pocket full of gold to walk the open road. Don't need a pocket full of gold to win somebody's soul. Well, you made it out alive. Now you can hold your head up high. Yeah, you made it out alive. somebody's heart and somebody's soul. Oh, 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 oh.
And we're back, and we're done talking about our disdain for sweet potatoes and why New Jersey.
Fuck you, sweet potatoes.
Yeah, and all that good stuff. So, 7 Seconds is recording a new record, and they have enlisted their former producer, Steve Kravick. Maybe it's Kravick. I don't fucking know. He recorded their Good to Go record that was back in 99. Yeah, so here's some of the titles of the songs we're putting out. Standing By Yourself, Upgrade Everything, I Have Faith in You, 30 Years and Still Going Wrong. That's a good one. Yeah, so anyways, they are going to be putting out a new record. What do you guys think? Anybody stoked? Any 7 Seconds fans?
I'm not like a massive 7 Seconds fan, but I really like Kevin Steffen's solo stuff. Mm-hmm. I think he's a really great songwriter. I'm looking forward to hearing this. Vice Records have been picking up so many fucking great bands lately as well.
Like, yeah, I was really shocked by that, to see Vice Records. And didn't Kevin Steffens go off on the bands that he shares on that roster?
I don't know, but I'll tell you what, you know what Vice Records is becoming? They're the new Side One Dummy.
Yeah, that's a good comparison.
Yep, wait till the Suicide Machine signed with them. Side One used to be like the where a band that tried to make the jump to a major could come back and try to be cool gracefully come back.
Like Epitaph.
Yeah, I mean Epitaph is kind of its own monster, but Side One they had Springheel Jack and or 22 Jacks, one of those fucking bands. They didn't have shit back in the day, and then out of nowhere they just start signing all these these dump major label bands. That's how, at least I remember them kind of coming to prominence. But yeah, it's actually 7 Seconds we're on Side One. That's a good segue. I couldn't have made that up. So anyways, yeah, it's going to be coming out. So stay tuned. We'll probably have more news about it. All right, moving on. So, Cooking Vinyl is going to release a Billy Bragg retrospective site. They've actually launched it already.
Yep.
It's a retrospective look at Billy Bragg to coincide with the upcoming 30th anniversary release of his debut, Life's a Riot with Spy vs. Spy. Each day from now until the reissue is released on the 29th of October, the label will post exclusive commentary from Bragg on his back catalog. Andy, you sound excited about this, so I'm gonna just.
I am such a fucking big Billy Bragg fan. I am. Bragg was the first musician that I really got into that wasn't Travis the Stereophonics, a shit pop punk band, Conflict, or Eminem. So. me and Billy Bragg go back a little way, and he's always come across as the most genuine character under the sun. He writes a fucking great mix of love songs. His love songs have sort of merged into songs about bringing up his family. And he still writes really pertinent political stuff. He's stuck by his ideals for 30 odd years. So plus the story of how he came to prominence is fantastic. There used to be a dude on Radio 1, John Peel, that used to play this really eclectic show in the evening. And he said on the air one night that he was dying for a curry. So Billy Bragg gets on his scooter, drives across London from Essex to West London, where the old BBC Radio HQ was, with this bag full of curry, sends it up with a demo tape, and John Peel's so grateful he put a New England on the air there and then. I think it was a New England. It might have been the Milkman of Human Kindness. But anyway, he was into it. That's how Billy Bragg got on the radio for the first time.
That is a cool story.
Wow.
Yeah. Andy, do you really like Eminem?
I really like the first couple of records, before the rest of the world pointed out to me that actually it was a lot of it was kind of fucked up. I still think Eminem's a great rapper. He's just he's kind of squandered his talent a little bit.
Yeah. I just asked that because a lot of people hate him, and I at least his first, I'd say, two records and a few assorted songs from the rest.
Yeah, there's so much good material there.
Yeah, I think he's, you know, it's shock value, but I think he's, you know, he's clever. I mean, the dude is clever. I give him that.
Yeah, he's creative with his lyrics.
Yeah. So,
but the new site is cool. To go back to that, one of the things that I think it's cool watching how these days music, like labels and whoever putting out all of these different anniversary reissues, la da da. It's cool to see how they're promoting it. So like I took a look at this site, and granted, I'm a little bit of a web development nerd and get my kicks off looking at this stuff and looking at the different functionality of sites. But it's cool to see that they put this together, and it's like somewhat unique in terms of there's a lot of shit happening on this. It's kind of a little in your face and overwhelming. But it is cool to see how bands are, you know, we're in this phase where nobody buys music. So what are they going to do to help hype up this reissue, and what can they do to make people buy this reissue, and putting out a whole site based around it, and like a fairly detailed site. It's not just like it's not a homepage that says, bro, buy this off Amazon. Here's the link. So it's cool.
It is.
All right. Well, yeah, so check out the site if you dig Billy Bragg. I'm sure a lot of you do. Moving on, Blink-182. God, worst segue ever, right?
Jesus. Well, I was talking about shitty pop punk bands, so.
Yeah. I'm just gonna, this makes no fucking sense to me. They're doing three shows to celebrate the 10th anniversary of the untitled record from 2003, you know, the one with the really stupid smiley face with X's on it.
Which, wasn't that album terrible?
Yep.
This isn't like all the other 10th anniversaries that we're having. Those are fucking incredible, epic, part of your youth changing albums. This album, this is the album that everybody who was once a Blink-182 fan was like, no way, we're out.
This is the one where like the then middle-aged Tom DeLonge started moaning about his childhood.
this is Travis Barker like wants a new Bentley or something. I mean, it's bullshit. I mean, when Dude Ranch came out, I bought it, and I'd never listened to Cheshire Cat, and after that, I was kind of like, yeah. I was one of those, like, see, a lot of those of us who were like big Epitaph Fat fans back then, we didn't like Blink because we all thought they were NoFX ripoffs because of the way Tom sang, and you know, we were immature. But anyways, I came back like years and years and years later and listened to Enema of the State and Take Off Your Pants. I was like, ah, this isn't bad. I mean, they're pop punk, but this is crap.
This is crap. I don't know. Even my devoted Blink-182 fans, like friends who are just super devoted to this band, which I still don't get. My interest in Blink-182 lasted maybe 10 months, and then I was like, oh, everything else under the sun. But even they all agreed that this album is garbage. So I read this story, and I was like, well, this just feels like a really pathetic grasp at trying to do something newsworthy.
Hey, Andy, you know Robert Smith is on one of the songs on here.
Really?
Yeah.
Robert Smith, the like middle-aged goth bird.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Rum times. Why are they playing like three songs? three songs.
Three songs.
They've only got like three songs. But anyway, why are they playing three shows all in LA over 2 days? That's just a bit embarrassing. I mean, does the machine need kickstarting now, Tom, or what?
It's a money grab.
This is laziness. This isn't even, you're not even attempting to go to your fans. This is, fine, I'll put down my beer, I'll go to the venue, I'll play some songs. Oh, you're going to pay me a couple $100,000? Well, all right, cool.
It's at that legendary Los Angeles venue, the Red Bull Sound Space, as well.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, if you're going to this, you know, yay, good for you.
See,
yeah, just know the rest of us are judging you.
This is going to sound really, really dark, but you know how, like, everybody's seen Unbreakable, haven't they? And how, like, Samuel L. Jackson's character goes around all those disaster sites, like, looking for the miraculous soul survivor and stuff. Do you think anyone's ever cosplayed Samuel L. Jackson in that movie and turned up on Travis Barker's doorstep?
Yeah, not even going to try to top that one. So
nope, that was golden. That was good.
They call me Mr. Glass.
All right. Well, so Bad Religion, they put out a song from their upcoming Christmas record. Yes, there's a Bad Religion Christmas record coming. And actually,
I rolled my eyes at that.
Actually, I'm going to take you fuckers to school here because this is the second Bad Religion Christmas record.
Oh.
It was the first one wasn't a full one, but they did a Christmas sampler years and years ago. I have it somewhere buried in a box, and it had like 6 songs on it. I shit you not. I was trying to find information about it on the web, and I couldn't even find anything on it. But yeah, they did one.
Wow. So do you think this is just them being lazy and they're just reissuing
no
one's going to remember this except for that one nerd that does that one podcast. What a dick for fucking this up.
No, they're different songs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All the other ones were like, they were like puns on the names of like famous Christmas songs.
Mm.
But it's anyway, so they put up, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. I didn't listen to it. Did any of you guys listen to it yet?
No, but I'd like to point out that one of the commenters had a really good point by the name of Bald Steve. Their comment was, does this come out the same day as the Crusades LP of Gospel Standards?
That's probably the best thing about this story.
Yes. If you're listening, then Crusades, please do that.
I'm into this. Like, I'm an atheist, but God has got some pretty decent tunes. Like, John the Revelator by Taj Mahal, the Sun House cover, like, that's a sick song. So many, like, Johnny Cash's gospel songs as well. I'll back this, I'll listen to this. Like, Greg Raffin's an incredible vocalist. The rest of the band can be all right on their day. So, yeah, we'll see what's going on.
Yeah, I think...
I like Christmas. I tend to call it Free Shit Friday or whatever day of the week it happens to be. Get a lot of comics, eat a lot of food, fall asleep. Cool.
Does your mom make pancakes?
No. It's Christmas, not Shrove Tuesday.
Oh.
I gotta say, I don't know if it was Aubin that made this or if it was just like he found it, but the fucking Wreath Crossbuster is fucking amazing.
Yes.
I know. I love that too.
Yeah, the only thing about this record that kind of bums me is, you know, it's I don't know what to expect from it, but it could be cool as shit. But I mean, to me, Bad Religion this year put out what I consider to be their best record in a very long time. I think it's even better than The Process of Belief, only because Process of Belief is good, but I think people shat themselves over it so much because of how horrible the two records were before it.
That's a very good point.
If True North came out at that time, it would be considered one of the greatest Bad Religion records ever.
Yeah.
But doing this, I don't know if it takes away from that. And I've got to hear this to make that decision or that opinion. But I'm worried.
Mm-hmm.
Not worried, not too worried, like I'm going to lose sleep, but, you know, it's discerning. All right.
I'd really like to hear Fucked Up make a 3-part concept album based on a Christmas carol.
Yeah. You know, and we're not even going to go down that road, because I don't like Fucked Up. I just don't. And I won't go into why, but I don't like them.
Fair enough.
Yeah, what are you going to do, right? All right, so with that said, that's pretty much all we got here. I'm going to wrap it up in a second, but thank you, gents and lady, for joining us. And for are both of you guys heading to Fest?
No. I am heading overseas shortly, so I'm not using up vacation time. Sorry.
I hear you. Andy, are you just like doing the couch tour on the way down?
I am going to Baltimore tomorrow for a few days for Miss Kira Wisniewski's birthday. I shan't say how old she is. It's not polite to discuss a lady's age. And then I will be going down to Memphis, Tennessee to knock about with our old copy editor, Amelia, and look at stuff from Sun Studios days. And then I'll be heading on to Gainesville to hang out with people I could have hung out with at home.
So you should,
and some Americans.
And you're skipping Richmond. What the fuck?
Well, I don't. Yeah, I mean, I suppose I could have stayed with you, but I assume Tim Barry's on tour. So what's there to do in Richmond?
You know this. You know this is the capital of former treason.
Oh, cool. Yeah. That was a good selling point.
Richmond was the capital of the Confederacy, which was, you know, as you know from, I'm sure you're taught lots of American history.
No, not really.
When we
only teach the history of the wars that we won. I'm not even kidding. Like, literally, like, we only learn about things we won. We don't learn about the Romans because they decked us. We learn about the Nazis because we decked them with a bit of help in the second half.
I was going to say, you make sure you correct that statement.
Yeah, exactly.
Qualify that statement.
You turned up a bit late, but you were pretty helpful. You didn't even mind that much the shag loads of our women while our soldiers were away.
Andy, let me give you the quick and dirty. We see part of the country used to like to keep people in slavery, and part of the country said that wasn't cool. They tried to separate, and the part that had the slavery, this was the
capital. I've seen the Outlaw Josie Wales. I know what's up.
And on that note, we are going to wrap it up. Thanks again, fellas and lady, and we will be back in just a second.
It's a pleasure.
To wrap this up, so stick around. All right, that's going to do it for this week's Punk News Podcast. I want to thank all the bands and labels for contributing music to this week's show. I want to thank Britt, Andy, and Andrew for joining us on the roundtable. And, of course, I want to thank you for listening. Again, I want to remind you that all views, opinions, and thoughts expressed on the podcast are those of the person expressing them and do not represent those of punknews.org. So, again, thanks for listening. If you want to send us feedback, you can send it to podcast@punknews.org. You can find us on Twitter, Facebook, all that shit. And, of course, when we post the story, you can comment and make your snide comments. That said, thanks again, and we hope to see you back next week.